Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's a little cloudy. U.S. Open's getting underway at Oakmont in Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh. Beautiful day there.
A little cloudy, but still fresh out here.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here. Question that I think started with the morning show.
It did. Absolutely. This
and
did.
We've kind of taken it into a different direction, but it's the premise is food on planes. Josh had pizza from a stranger on a plane.
Which Owen.
Which I can respect.
I saw Owen's opinion.
Owen seems
on this.
Out on it completely.
Yeah, no, he's already shaking his head at us.
Yeah.
I am so out on stranger pizza on an airplane.
I will say, context is always going to matter here. For me, the scenario you guys talked about for the morning show, like what Josh did. Old lady, I'm a little disarmed.
Okay, she wasn't an old lady. She
older
was like
lady.
Older, like middle age. Like, she was like probably like 50s.
Oh, she could have poisoned you. Oh,
no,
not
no,
shot.
No, 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 no.
Her friends were going down for a girl's trip. I had talked to them for like the whole flight. Me and my girlfriend were having a great time talking to
not
them.
Not shot.
The whole flight we were talking. And then like an hour left in the flight, she pulls out a bag of
hour
pizza.
Left
okay,
in the
yeah,
and
no.
She's like, hey, you guys want any? And we're like,
never mind. I'm back.
Sure.
I'm back on the midpoint of this though. Because you said plastic baggie.
Like a Ziploc bag.
Sandwich bag.
That's where
like
I'm
a
like.
A big gallon yep. Ziploc bag.
Like, this is where you got to weigh your pros and cons. Like, I'm not an absolute here. Only a Sith deals in absolutes. But plastic baggie, yeah, that's going to be weighed more to the no scale. Like, if.
What
if
do you she, want her to put it in?
If she bought, like, one
box,
too
man.
Many from, like there's a there was a restaurant at the airport. And it's in like one of those to-go boxes. It's like the slice box. I'll take the slice box off your hand. I know where that came from.
I don't want anything to do with anybody else's food on a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even believe you guys are like discussing this idea.
No, no,
you
no.
You would
no,
have
no.
missed so, out on fantastic pizza.
No,
it was great.
I wouldn't have.
It was great.
A plastic bag 2 hours
no,
into a flight.
Yeah, no, plastic
it
bag.
Was fantastic.
Like plastic bag in a purse. Like no, I'm kind of like I'm out on that part of it.
Out.
But if like if she's holding onto a box and we're all about to get on the flight, and she's like, I don't want. Like I don't really feel like having this. I'll be like, I'll take it off your hands. You paid $7.50 for that slice. I'll take it.
I'll take it off your hands.
I would rather roll around in coals before I take anybody else's food.
Whoa!
On a plane. I don't know what. No, like,
hang on.
I don't know this person.
Owen's on a roll
with
Owen's on a roll with the hyperbole this morning, though. Like, I don't think any of you could tackle Derrick Henry. So.
Don't get me, I'm hot now. This is unbelievable. I can't deal
with
you
guys.
But
I'm with you that like if I see a plastic baggie, I don't care if it's like a 3-tier lasagna that's somehow fresh and like it smells delicious
no
in
shot.
This plastic baggie. No, it's
shot.
A plastic baggie. I'm out.
I wouldn't take a Nutri-Grain bar from a grandma on a plane. I would not do it.
Why?
Because who are you?
What's your brain bar?
Who am I taking this food off of?
Oh, my God.
Why do you want me to have this food?
We took
this
show and
just... I want none of this.
Josh, I think what we're discovering is you have not watched enough, like, true crime documentaries.
Right. So we just have too much trust in people, apparently.
Yeah, ready? That's what I'm saying. Ready? You have not watched enough true crime documentaries.
It's the full scale of trust issues here. Josh has too many.
No, I don't have enough trust issues.
He's got too much trust.
Right.
Owen, I'm getting a sense of the other side of this.
Owen's scarred.
Owen has watched or listened to, like, murder podcasts or something, like true crime podcasts or something. At least one. All it takes is one. And the next thing you know, you're like, I can't trust Zachary outside of work. Like,
or I'm a normal human being who doesn't want to take food from strangers. Or there's that.
Or there is a third option.
I mean,
there is a third option.
I feel like I'm on Mars over here.
I'm over here sitting in the middle like, no, both of you have points here. Still no on the plastic baggie. But if somebody buys one too many of an item and wants to give it, sure.
I'm not taking the food.
I'll take free
not
food.
A shot.
I'll take free food.
It's just no
my thing
world.
Is, though, too, I'm not talking it's to strangers no at an airport.
World.
That's a big thing for me.
No,
I'm dead silent at an airport.
I'm kind of that. I'll be that person if someone engages with me. I'll play ball if it's a friendly comment.
Oh, see, I'm the one that, like, 5 minutes after the comment, I walk away. No. I'm not allowing the conversation
but
to continue.
But I was stuck on a flight with this lady for three hours.
I'm
next
a socialite.
So it's like,
oh, dude, AirPods. You got to come on, man.
I told her to take a hike. I can't.
But, okay, how about if she starts off the conversation asking you and your girlfriend if you're on your honeymoon? You can't just...
Oh, I mean, okay. Hit her with no, we're just taking
I'm now envisioning Owen being asked that question, and he just walks away.
Exactly.
It's
he gets
I
wouldn't
not.
Be mean. No.
I wish we had the cameras because I would reenact it right now. Just be like, just ask me a question. Like,
just walk away.
Yeah, I would just do that.
It's gone. Gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I felt during the polo segment yesterday. I was ready to walk off set. I was like, "This is I'm being gaslit."
No. That is because
there's been something missing in my life.
That is because you believed the first lie, and that's on me because I did manipulate you,
dude.
I made it believable because I said there were goalies. There's not on mini horses.
I was to say it was more when you said mini horses. I'm like.
You no, it was the pony? Zebra.
No. Oh, yeah, no, zebras that, I thought I was yeah. out on. It was when you said mini horses, and I'm like, he doesn't know what a pony is.
No, I'm talking
that
about
immediately
Little Sebastian.
Where my head went from.
Well, my intention was Little Sebastian.
Oh, okay.
Actual mini horse.
Okay.
Just to mess with you. But the fact that you bought it was that I'm like, all right, now we're off and rolling.
Now we're going.
Now we're going here. And today, I just went ahead and pulled the pin on a grenade to start the show here.
Yeah,
we've
discovered Owen traveling. Don't talk to him. Don't offer him anything. Josh, when you travel with him,
Owen,
offer him anything. He'll take it.
Owen, I'm not going to take anything.
Owen traveling, I want a camera crew now.
Old lady says hi. Take a hike, ma'am.
I'm not being mean to people.
Get out of my face.
I just can't. I could not reconcile with just accepting bagged pizza. From a random I don't feel like I'm crazy. I feel like I'm going crazy on this show. Nobody, like, Joe was the only one in the morning that even remotely agreed with me. I feel like I'm on drugs right now. Who is taking this food?
Josh's.
You don't think this, like, not even the poison point. You could get poisoned, sure, like, but that's not going to happen. What if it's just bad? It could be horrible pizza, and then you're sitting next to this lady. Like, what do you... my brain's going to melt out of my ears. There's so many places that food, like, could take you that are not good. What if they mix up the... stop me now. It's all bad. It's all bad.
It's all bad.
I kind of want you to keep going, but I also need to breathe.
I'm going to get in trouble. I can't. It's... Just,
oh, man.
I wouldn't have been mean to this lady. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh.
I'm good. I pass.
To be fair, I did say that to her when she offered me a second slice.
Oh,
I had the first slice.
No,
yeah, it's pretty good.
You mean, set yourself up for that.
And
you absolutely.
She's like, "Oh, do you want another one?" I was like, "No, I'm okay."
Get through the first slice, though, then you know, whatever. God. All bets are off. I would have taken two if I had been force fed the first one, but you know. You can't. It's the the leap to take the first two piece is just insane. How did you draw the line at the second piece?
I just didn't want it. I wasn't hungry anymore.
Gosh, Josh, this is incredible.
You are on a roll this week.
Oh. Hey, kindness of strangers, man. I don't know. The lady was nice. If she would have been weird about it, I wouldn't have taken it.
That's fair.
This is the best core workout I could have gotten this week.
There was like six other people around me eating this pizza, by the way. It's not just me. There was other people.
Everybody's going to drop dead.
There's like six rows of people just nibbling on a piece of pizza.
There's only, how many bathrooms are on this flight?
Two.
Not enough.
I'll take that it's more than one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of a big bonus.
Why am I such an optimist? I don't know. But great start to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We've kept you 10 minutes past your time.
My heart rate's going to be at 160 until noon today.
I'm driving home with hands on the wheel, white knuckling it.
There are tears in my eyes right now from this. This is incredible.
I'm going to find you someday on a plane and give you pizza.
I'll punch you in the throat.
Not even a thought. Right for the throat shot.
It is over.
This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, featuring Owen Parker angrily and Josh Schmidt's naivety.
I was going to ask too, like, how do we feel about like even having like food, like a meal alone on a plane? But I think we went far enough. We've got sports today. The U.S. Open's going on in Oakmont.
Worth it, though. Oh, my God.
We came in. We were talking with Sneaky Joe and Jeremy before our show started. Rory had a rough shot, and Joe was like, he might be looking at a triple here. Young man, part it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he's looking good. Oh. And by the way, that's going to be a fun conversation.
I'm crying.
Bulldog, Mike, and Brian Koziel, they had like their pick contest.
Yeah.
And one guy that was not picked was Rory McIlroy. He has not done well since the Masters.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And that was going to be a conversation, regardless of how today went, on like what's going on with Rory, why not pick Rory, why is no one feeling good about Rory. I'd love for him, no matter how it actually ends up today, or for the tournament, excuse me, but I'd love for him today to wind up in like the top three.
And that would
like,
be nice.
Oh, Rory's still there. A lot of
Which
fun.
Which one has the field?
It was Brian's pick. Brian's pick this major.
Okay.
And so, the pickers so far this year are 2-0. So Brian had a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure to go sweeping this right now. But it looks like that might be a bit of an interesting thing. Now that I'm reset, by the way, finally breathing normal, no more tears of laughter in my eyes.
I will never go on a plane and not think of that story now.
Oh my God, this is
every time I go on a plane now.
That is 1,000%.
That's exactly what I'm going to think
chaotic
about.
Chaotic content right there. But plenty of stuff going on. Bills, of course, with the rest of minicamp wrapping up today. Practice at 11. Mm-hmm. We'll have Sal Capaccio on in about 20 minutes. About 20 minutes. The Bengals and Shamar Stewart took another interesting chapter. But I think refreshingly for me, I was thrilled last night, Zach. The Indiana Pacers have not just taken Game 3, but like this is looking to be like one of those back and forth series that I'm going to love watching for the rest of its entirety.
It'll now, thanks to Indiana winning last night, we do know it'll at least go six games.
It is at minimum my long series.
This has been what I've said kind of since it started. I just want this to go five. Indiana, take a game, show that you belong, what have you. Now, kind of Indiana's proved me wrong like every step of the way here.
Every series they have done this.
And for me, it was always, you know, once it became these two officially, I was like, look, I think Indiana's a worthy Eastern Conference finalist.
Right.
I don't know if they're, quote unquote, a worthy opponent for OKC. I thought OKC was just on a different level.
And all year they have been.
Except really on the road, which was something that I hadn't necessarily paid attention to until last night. But then Indiana wins game one. It was like, okay, like, you're at least going to take a game. You're going to make this at least in the beginning somewhat interesting. They're blown out in game two. You could argue Rick Carlisle after a certain point kind of realized, hey, the game's getting away. Let's not fight tooth and nail to lose by 15. We'll take our foot off the gas. We'll get ready for game three when the series goes to Indiana. And then game one in Indiana, it's close the entire way. And then the last 2 to 3 minutes, Indiana pulls away. The second quarter by them and their bench was incredible. They had a few great moments. T.J. McConnell having a number of inbound interceptions to go get easy baskets to kind of keep these little runs going. And now, you know, if you're OKC too, and the way the modern NBA works, this is not just going to be like a nice casual, like, okay, OKC. And while they're going to have a big advantage here with all the draft picks, they're not going to be able to pay everybody from this core. You might get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, and like one other guy. And then it's going to be a lot of like piecemealing it together, using those draft picks to bring in role players. And so they do need this title because they may not get another one. Indiana, the exact same thing. But Indiana's come to play, and they have got just guys everywhere. Derek, yesterday,
their bench is that
leading scorer was on the bench. It's a guy named Benedict Mathurin.
And I love that. And that was something that I noticed. They can go nine deep.
Yeah, their bench is
incredible. Throughout their lineup, they can go nine deep comfortably with players playing meaningful minutes and contributing on the scoreboard and defensively.
They're such a long team.
That's the thing.
Everybody is long. They can play hard defensively. This has been a joy to watch of a series because it's two teams. That's the thing too. The casual fan, and I don't say that disparagingly, but the casual fan will be somewhat frustrated by this series because there's no real big names. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's not that flashy for an MVP. I think post MVP he'll be much more flashy. Halliburton is not that 20-point scorer. He kind of came on during these playoffs, not really because of his scoring either, so he's a little bit less flashy.
ESPN's fault.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, Scott Van Pelt even kind of openly acknowledged it after game one that he had showed up late, but to everyone's credit, Indiana kind of showed up late. That was Halliburton's whole thing.
Halliburton said it himself to Van Pelt.
They were below 500 or at 500 at Christmas.
But even Oklahoma City hasn't gotten the shine that they have all season.
Right, and that's right.
Because they're not the Lakers or the Knicks or
Boston, Golden State.
Or the Lakers.
Or the Lakers.
I mentioned LeBron and the Lakers?
That does seem to be very true.
Yeah. So at some point, it is a shame that not as many fans are viewing this because, you know, casuals be casual on that one. But dang. Is this a series worth your time? Even if you're not a huge basketball aficionado like myself, I'm not a huge NBA fan. But I was very interested in how Indiana was making this run in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
It was not Oklahoma City turning my attention. It wasn't even the Knicks, who I know a couple of people around here they are fond of.
I would argue I'm one of them.
I know Nate is, for example. Like, it was watching how Indiana has been going through this postseason where I'm like, you have my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I like you. You're scrappy. And I think that's what it is the fact that they had to go through and beat a top seed in order to get to where they were in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Knicks. And by then, they had my attention. By then, it was, okay, I would love to see Indiana get here and make it to the finals. Their bench is deep. Like I said, they can go nine strong. Halliburton's just a fun personality. One of those intense kind of guys that he will put his reputation on the line to make the choking gesture toward the Knicks just to get him in the feels of old Reggie Miller.
Game one. Love that.
In game one. Even though his toe's on the line. But what do? They realize, okay, we haven't won it. We got to go win it. And that's what they do. They put their money where their mouth is all postseason long. They have a brash attitude to them that's confident but not arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
They know where that line is, and they toe it perfectly.
It's going to be a fun series. It has been a fun series. I think it's going to stay that entertaining.
I'm glad
it
is.
Through the rest of the way.
Because it should be. And honestly, it will turn a casual that is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Into a fan of some of these other teams.
Last night sort of, even if OKC won it, gave me a little bit of a sense of relief of, okay, game two was just game two.
There's an off night.
Yeah, blowups are going to happen. And same thing with the Stanley Cup final tonight, game four, 8 o'clock, 7:30, we'll start our coverage here on WGR.
You hope that Edmonton had hope an off that, night.
Yeah, and even if Florida wins, give me an entertaining game. I don't need every series going seven or even six. I want entertaining games throughout. Game three kind of sucked. It was 6-1. Edmonton never really got off the ground, and Florida just looked better.
And then when they tried to scrap, they were not winning those either.
No, the most entertaining part of the game was at the end when it became a brawl. That was the most entertaining part of it.
Already? Every Oiler was at a disadvantage in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't out-goon the Florida Panthers. It's not something you can do. So if Edmonton's not winning the skill-based game, you're not winning the other side of that coin.
Yeah, you're out on it.
Come on.
You're out on it. So that's really entertaining. Of course, then we also have, as I've mentioned, the U.S. Open going as well. Got going right away. I mean, guys like Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, already out on the course. That's a lot of fun as well, because then you're not going to have to wait till a lot of times you can see with these majors waiting till like 2 in the afternoon to get the big guys going. And it is on cable TV. I think this is on USA Network, where some of these, I mean, you have to like go on ESPN Plus. The Masters was frustrating for me going on ESPN Plus. And it being like, yeah, you get three holes, and you're just going to watch those, and that's it. The feature group's kind of a frustrating mess at times, but we make it through. And then, of course, Bills wrapping up mandatory minicamp today. We do have some stories around the league as well. Shamar Stewart, he left mandatory minicamp today, though doesn't really mean too much. Jay Morsi, a reporter for Cincinnati, did mention that as well, that, look, practice ended at 10. Doesn't really mean too much. In the sense of, you know, is he going to miss anything? It's much more of a statement of the continued frustrations with everything. The Bills, they're going to have practice in about 45 minutes at 11. That'll wrap it up for them. We hope, though, to get a bit of an injury update on Max Harrison, the Bills' rookie corner. He injured himself very late in practice yesterday. And to that, no one really got to see if he would even go back in or anything. He got a little bit of work done with the athletic training staff. And then the whistle blew, and that was it for the day. And we also do hope to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean to kind of put a bow on this week. Derek, I will tell you, though, this week flew by in that sense, and now it's going to be 5 weeks of just sort of sitting on our hands waiting for training camp. There have been some good notes, though, from mandatory minicamp. Allen and the new receivers have really gotten onto the same page, especially yesterday. I know one of the storylines from day one was he threw three picks yesterday, barely, you know, ball basically didn't touch the ground, I think, you know, Arcel's words. But it seems like he's really building up a rapport with Joshua Palmer, Elijah Moore, who's kind of my darling with this whole thing. But then even on the defensive side, like you're hearing, you know, Benford has been really, really good. Trey White, you know, depending on deployment, sounds like he's being playing with the ones and stuff like that. So that he could maybe be in the pole position to be cornerback too. And then, of course, while it's no pads, you know, I heard Terrell Bernard talking yesterday, the defensive line unit and all the new names they're bringing in. But guys like, I think it was Larry Ogunjobi he was talking about, you know, already knows the playbook and is already kind of like, you know, found himself lockstep. And while, yes, he's going to be out for, what, the first 6 games.
He needs to create advantages for himself.
Yeah.
And that's
big. Build the advantages, know the playbook, get ready. So when, you know, you're back to come in, you're coming right in. And then the young guys as well, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders. And I know Sanders and Walker both have kind of had moments at mandatory minicamp where they've had a little bit of a pop where you're like, oh, okay. I see those guys. There have been injuries, though, as well. And one that does make me very nervous, I want to talk to Sal about this, too, in about 10 minutes, Cole Bishop. That was a big sting point for him last year, is that he got hurt in training camp, and that basically killed any chance he was going to start. And then, once the season kind of got underway, he was behind the eight ball and never really could even make an attempt to grab one of the safety positions on a unit that most would argue was maybe the most average to a bit below average on that defense. The defensive line needed the most work.
And oddly enough, it was also, who was it that the Bills also signed last offseason? The name eludes me for the moment.
Not Taylor Rapp, right?
No. Who was going to be competing with Rapp or with Hamlin and Bishop for that other safety spot? Oh my God, why is it? From Kansas City, Mike Edwards.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
he gets hurt and then he just vanishes.
Edwards gets hurt, Bishop gets hurt. Hamlin wins the job, despite also getting hurt at some point. But Hamlin wins the job because he knows the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And with all three of them banged up for a majority of the preseason and training camp, Hamlin's the one that's able to come back first, knows the playbook the best, and it's his job going away at that point. Bishop needs to have himself a training camp to claim this job. I don't know how comfortable a single Bills fan will be if they roll out the same safety tandem as last year as they're starting. There would be a lot of negative notions toward Bishop at that point. You know, the only ability, or the biggest ability, is availability.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he never really looked good when he looked particularly good, I should say.
Yeah, there was no flash where you're like, there he is. There's the second round safety. He no question he's starting next year.
Oftentimes that would
year.
Be garbage time when those yeah. moments were showing up of, okay, there's talent there. Mm-hmm. In his starts, he was not anything all that great. And for some people, it's still ingrained in the memory of the Bills finally gave up a deep ball touchdown for the first time in like 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
Bishop was starting against Houston.
Mm-hmm. And they did it against Denver in the playoff game
then
as
they
well.
Then they added one more to it.
So
and like,
there,
okay,
there were a few moments where it was yeah. like, okay, this is not the same safety unit you've been watching for 6-7 years at that point. I've mentioned it before, too, with Bishop, and it's nothing against him. But for me, it has always been game one against Baltimore. He needs to be one of their starting safeties.
And it's why a lot of fans during the draft process started flirting around with the idea of Malachi Starks.
Yeah. We didn't know what Bishop offered. And so it was, well, if the best player available on defense is a safety, why not just add him? And Sal's brought that up, too, that there was the Bills like Taylor Rapp more than fans do. Bishop is a second. Right. All of it made sense.
And that's why I mentioned, like, you know, it was about flirting with the idea, not necessarily yeah. like it was this likely unattainable thing. But like Sal mentioned, like the Bills like Taylor Rapp. They do think that there's something there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to make sure they see something with Cole Bishop, but it's up to Bishop to be available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad luck.
It's bad
ultimately.
Luck. I will say though, McDermott mentioning that the injured players, none of them seem to will leak into training camp. That is a good sign. Bosa as well, with somebody that's running around, you got to feel good about what his injury was.
We'll see with Hairston,
but we'll see with Hairston as well. That maybe is the biggest storyline in OT or in mandatory minicamp. We'll see if we get any kind of update today. But we will talk more on yesterday, and what is on the docket for today is coming up after a quick timeout. Sal Capaccio will join the show. Bills practice at 11 o'clock today, so it'll be a quick one for the Bills as they wrap up their spring schedule and head into the summer break. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and this is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And with practice starting in just about a half hour, we go to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins us here. The Bills looking to wrap up mandatory minicamp today and then going on about 5 weeks summer vacation here, Sal. I mean, we're gonna have a little bit of a break here.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to depend on, you know, how each guy wants to treat that mm-hmm. quote-unquote summer vacation. Down here at One Bills Drive right now, and it's an earlier practice than normal today. Excuse me. Sorry. They had been getting on the field at about 12:30 p.m., but today it's going to be 11 a.m. Now, they have been going for 2 hours each day. I don't know if today will be the same. You know, I mean, there's been years where literally they canceled the last mm-hmm. day. There's been years where they've gone very short the last day and kind of just did a light walkthrough. So we don't know what to expect today. And then Brandon Bean, I believe, might speak to the media. I don't know if that's completely confirmed, but I think it could happen today afterward. I know last year he did speak with the media on the final day. And then guys go away. And listen, I asked Sean McDermott the other day, what's your message to players when they leave here before training camp begins in late July? And, you know, he talked a lot about how each guy has to kind of find his own routine. And depending on what stage of your career you are, you might have that routine set in or you might be figuring it out. And the young guys kind of have to also kind of lean on those veteran guys. So, yeah, they're going to have about a 5-to-6-week break. And then back at training camp, St. John Fisher in July is the next time we'll see the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, man, it's like the one time the NFL does stop. It has become as close as it can be to 365, 24/7. But this is the period where it slows down, which is true of like most sports. We're all preparing for, what is it, that week in July where there's nothing. The baseball all-star break, there's nothing going on. So, I mean, we're getting close to that. Sal, don't want to forget about this, so I do want to ask you it right off the top. Max Hairston, that is sort of the now the big topic of conversation from mandatory minicamp, appeared to pick up a leg injury yesterday. We really have no idea the severity of it. What did you see?
Yeah, so Max Hairston, we're gonna find out here if he's practicing in a little while. And I would caution this. Even if he doesn't practice today, it doesn't mean that there has to be something severely wrong.
Right.
We'll find out. If he doesn't practice today, I'm sure we'll ask Brandon Bean, if he does meet with the media pretty quickly, hey, you know, what's the prognosis on Max Hairston? If he does practice, then everything's good. Yesterday, at the very end of practice, he kind of took himself out of defensive drills to go talk to a trainer, and he was speaking with head athletic trainer Nate Bresky. They seem to be looking at his left knee area, like more of the toward on the bottom area of the knee, talking about it, kind of pointing at it, walking a little bit. Right when that happened, practice ended. It was the scheduled end of practice. So it just literally happened at the end of the scheduled practice time. And so we couldn't tell if he went back in. So typically, like a couple of days ago, if you guys remember, Alec Anderson on the first day, like he tweaked something, gets wrapped up, and he didn't go back in. And you could see that. Okay, well, he didn't go back in, right? That was kind of something you saw that happened. We couldn't tell if Max Hairston would have gone back in or not. He might have gone back in. Maybe he didn't. But as the players then came off the field, he stayed out there just for a little while longer with Nate Bresky. And then they walked in together a little bit after most of the players, but with the group, basically.
Sal, when it comes to I made the joke a couple days ago about like how minicamp. I don't take as much weight into it, but I know that we all have the job to do. I'm absolutely going to play into that part and also feed Zach's ego a little bit there.
There we go.
Impressive performances yesterday from your report. It looks like, Zach, I'm going to do no favors for you here. Elijah Moore looks crisp. Tyrell Shavers looks like he's been having a lot of fun with these, with minicamp and OTAs here. What are you taking away from when it comes to what you're seeing out there on the field?
From somebody specific? I'm sorry, Rick. Here?
I'm going to go with Elijah Moore here. He is the later addition to the wide receiver core, and also I want to pump Zach's good feels.
So, because I think that there's been a few receivers who have been kind of standouts here lately, Elijah Moore, to me, has been pretty consistent through the first few weeks we were out here, OTAs, and now minicamp. You know, we were out here for a day of each OTA workout. We come back out here. And I just think he's been consistent and consistently good and solid and running routes. And even yesterday, like, he caught a pass yesterday kind of mid-level of the defense, and there was nobody around him. He's finding zones. You know, you have to always give the caveat this time of year that I know people say, well, nothing matters. Look, I mean, it's football. They're practicing. It matters to them. And I will tell you, though, that it is a much bigger advantage to the offense right now than the defense, because there's no hitting. And a guy can make a catch not worried about he's going to get hit. And, you know, defense is flying around trying to make plays, but the offense kind of knows routes. It's all set and those kinds of things. This is geared towards an offensive setting when you're in this type of environment. You know, the defense still gets their work done and you want to be in right position. So I want to give that caveat. That being said, though, he has looked good. He's been in right position to make plays, to make catches. He seems like he's finding zones and spots. Very, very fluid route runner. I really like that. I love what I've seen lately from this week from Josh Palmer. I think he did tell me the other day he wanted to be called Joshua, so I'm going to try to do that as much as possible, and it might be, you know, something you have to get used to a little bit. So Joshua Palmer, what I've seen in the last couple of days, I think that kind of connection with Josh Allen is starting to really, you know, get better and more on the same page. I think it seemed like he had more of a connection with Elijah Moore like that, but now it's starting to come with Palmer as well. They are different types of players. They have a bit of a same skill set. I see, you know, that Palmer, when he's catching the ball on the outside and the perimeter a little bit, getting to the right spot where Josh is getting the ball to. I like that. I've seen that a couple times lately. And then the guy that I was really on last year a lot, and I don't know, I think I might be again. I just don't know where the numbers are. But Tyrell Shavers, I think, is having another really good, strong mini camp. And he's a guy that's just right there, guys, to make a team. And I know that he had the, 69-yard touchdown, his only touch in the NFL last year. I think it was against the Jets. Someone said to me the other day, well, why don't they ever give him a chance? Well, listen, he is getting a chance. These are the chances. Your chance comes in mini camp and training camp and in practice. Now, you could debate all you want, and we don't know this, like that maybe he should beat somebody out anyway from what you see, but these coaches are here. They're not trying to lose games. They want to put the best players on the field, the best players on the team. You know, getting a chance isn't something you do in a game. Getting a chance is what you do to earn going into a game and being on a roster. So far, that hasn't happened overall for Tyrell Shavers, but I just think he's right there, and he's going to be an interesting guy to watch again.
Sal, on the defensive side of things, Trey Whitehouse, he looked in. Now his return to Buffalo. I did see what he had a pick six yesterday. Dane Jackson also having a good day as well.
He did, and I thought yesterday was a good day for the veteran corners. Trey White did have a pick six. It came really off an offensive mistake, though. Not to take anything away from Trey. You still have to make the play. He did. It was Khalil Shakir on a slant. Josh hit Khalil slipped. And as he's going down, Josh threw it kind of to him. And, you know, he's trying to make a play. So he reaches up as he's going down to the ground, slipping, and he bats the ball, right? As he's reaching up with his hands. He can't bring it in. Ball comes up in the air. Tre'Davious White is right there, grabs it, bam, goes back for a pick six. So good for Tre'Davious White. A little bit later, I really love the play I saw from Dane Jackson. Keon Coleman, a little bit in the middle, kind of sitting in the zone a little bit. The ball comes to Keon, and just as he's bringing it in, it touches his hands, and just as he's bringing it in, Dane comes from behind, just does a great job to swipe down, you know, from behind him with his arm across the top in the front and swipes the ball down to the ground. And you could definitely have two perspectives on that, right? Which is, hey, that's a really great play by Dane Jackson, or, man, Keon's got to bring that in. I don't know if he even had much of a chance. From my angle, I just think it was a good play from Dane Jackson. I don't know. I don't think it was anything that Keon should have had necessarily. But, you know, if you want to be out here and take that away, you could. But I want to give credit to Dane Jackson for making a nice play on the ball.
You mentioned Keon Coleman there, Sal, and I do want to ask about him because he spoke with the media yesterday. And he talked a lot about self-reflection and kind of how he's handling everything. He's also, of course, is off-season kind of strength program or what have you. What have you been able to take away from him? I mean, he's kind of a lightning rod topic for, I think, a lot of Bills fans. Those still maybe upset they didn't take Worthy. Those maybe a little bit frustrated. It wasn't immediately a pop receiver. And, of course, then the comments from McDermott and Bean both kind of wanting more from him post-injury. But what have you seen this off-season?
I thought yesterday was really interesting when he met with the media guys, and you have that sound there, and you can play some of it if you want, because I thought it was super interesting. Just bleep out the part where he said, I thought it looked like crap, right? You know what I mean? Because that's what it is, and I bring that up because he was very self-reflective, very honest, very self-critical, and I think it goes hand-in-hand with what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talked about, getting bigger, faster, stronger, but also for his standpoint, technically, making plays, getting in and out of breaks, doing everything you're supposed to do to kind of be an NFL wide receiver. And what Brandon Bean said after the year was, you know, he just didn't see the same player when he came back from injury. Sean McDermott talked very glowingly about what Keon was able to do as he was ascending, as he got before the injury against Miami. Remember that game in Seattle? It was kind of like his breakout game, right? Where he not only had that great catch over Tariq Woolen, but remember that block he had that drove a guy into the bench area? You guys remember that one too?
Oh yeah.
And you know, he talked a lot about that, blocking, being physical, the physical nature of his game. So, yeah, I just think that it's really great to hear that. And from what I've seen, I do think there's an intentionality about him. That's the word I'll use. Like, when I watch him, not that he never had this, but I think that kind of you see it a little bit differently, where it just feels like, it looks like when he's doing things on his own, he's going through his position work with his receiver group, or he's catching passes from the quarterbacks. It seems like he's come up kind of intentionally making sure to get that break the right way, to slow down at the top of the route, right? This is the time to do those things, and I think there's an intentionality about what he's doing.
Yeah, that Seattle game, Sal, that is one I bring up constantly. If you just want to even look at the stat sheet, there were moments, and the Seattle game is one of them, where it was like, okay, like they're targeting him more now. He's making more catches. He is now becoming a focal part of the offense. And then, of course, he does have the wrist injury that really kind of takes away the season. But that Seattle game was one of the more impressive games I've seen from a rookie receiver, because you brought it up too. Like, it wasn't just the catches. It's the big block. He's drawing pass interference penalties. Like, there were moments where watching that Seattle game, especially against such a lengthy secondary that the Seahawks do have, he was able to really kind of impose as well. It's why I'm and of course it's only year two, but it's why I can't really quit Keon yet, because that those
few games right there in the middle of the year when it seemed like he really was growing into his own, he looked like he could be a force for the Bills in the near future.
Yeah, I think that Keon Coleman still has a bright future ahead. And I know last year his rookie year was a bit uneven, but it wasn't terrible by any stretch, right? Yeah. And I think it's incomplete, too, because of the injury, right? I mean, last year, you know, maybe early on in the year, you're like, okay, you know, you need him on the field. I'll say this. I remember in training camp, I said, hey, I don't know if the volume will be there, but we're going to see, like, some really highlight reel plays. And that's kind of what we got from him, right? Where it wasn't about him being on the field all the time, but his usage was starting to go up, and they were starting to feel more comfortable with him. And I think that's where you have to kind of take the next step if you're Keon Coleman. We know he can be a highlight reel. We know he can make a great play and high point a ball. I think now it's got to be the consistency. It's got to be, you know, being on the field, being reliable in every situation. And I think that's where his game needs to go to really kind of step into that year two role they expect.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here, get you ready for practice coming up in just about 15 minutes, and we'll also be keeping track of everything going on today over at your Twitter, at Sal Sports. Thank you so much, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Again, practice early one today coming up at 11 o'clock. We hope to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Don't think we'll be able to carry it live here on the Extra Point Show because practice will be going on still during the show, but I imagine if he does speak One Bills Live, we'll be carrying that. So don't change the station. We'll probably be playing the GM's comments as we all head for summer vacation. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to keep talking a little bit of the Bills here and some of the NFL storylines as well. Definitely want to jump in, though, later on in the show on Game 4, the Stanley Cup Final. Especially after last night, Indiana taking a bit of a hold of their series in the NBA Finals. Want to see if Edmonton has it in them tonight. Tonight, it's not a must-win, but Derek, we've talked about it. If Edmonton falls to 3-1
again. It's a should-win.
Yep, it's a should-win and kind of a, not a must-win, but you need to win.
And I do think that we need to, I would like to poke a little bit at something else here where Kevin Weeks says there's a lot of interest on a player from the Buffalo Sabres.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
The weather's looking nice. Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back. So you might as well try to take advantage of that nice weather, ready to tee it up for free every Friday. We're giving away.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club, plus a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 Encore gift card as well in the giveaway. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin, especially if, you know, you're watching the U.S. Open right now and feeling a little inspired. Ooh. You want to go take some of the greens in on your own? Get on the website. Try to do it for free. Nothing's better than free, right? Including Ziploc pizza.
Is anything actually free?
Yeah, Ziploc pizza is free, apparently.
We'll say on the U.S. Open real quick.
The two of them did not hear me, luckily, so we didn't like rabble-rouse them again.
My fears have been alleviated because this started off aggressively of guys just get very low scores. Now we're hitting maybe the meat of the course here. Guys are struggling a little bit more.
Oh, boy.
This is exactly what I want. This is why I like the U.S. Open. I like when by the end of it, people are excited, but they look more exhausted than anything.
Okay, you're a modest person sometimes.
Yeah.
How would you fare?
I'd leave. No shot.
I was looking for a number, but no. I like that answer.
I'd leave. No, that's mean. I wouldn't leave. I'd stop keeping score. I would say I'll start on the front nine. I would probably say by hole 7, 8, I'd just be like, this is a practice round.
Yeah, no.
We're not keeping score. I'm practicing.
It would turn into I'm just here for the vibes. I'm here to take
very
this.
Quickly.
I'm here to take this in
very quickly.
Very, very quickly. That would be anyone here.
That happens to me at Delaware. What do you think? It's going to happen at like a notoriously difficult golf course. I'm cooked. I am a goner. I would maybe enjoy it though. Maybe. Being out there, I would enjoy
taking
it.
Taking the scenery, yeah. At least.
The key here is, though, is I couldn't – like, YouTube golf is big on this, where, like, the bad YouTube golfers will play with, like, the PGA
right.
Like, tour guys. No. I need to be with my buddies or people equal to my skill level, because if I'm the bad one in it, I'm not going to have fun at all. I'm going to have a really poor time. I can't be, like, the worst golf. I can be the worst one if there's, like, three of us that are, like, equal measure.
That's fair. I suppose that's probably the right way to look at it. You want to at least be on par with everybody else. Mm-hmm. Even if you're the best one in the group, I feel like that might ruin it for something like this.
You don't want to be leagues ahead of everybody where you're like, okay, this is like we're taking too long. Because let's go, guys.
Well, also, then you're also competing with that course, and it's a nightmare for you, even though you're doing better than the others.
You're going to get cooked.
Because if you're getting cooked, then imagine what everyone else is dealing with. Yeah, I don't know. I still am out of my element when it comes to...
I would smack the round over there. Be bad.
I know that part. I wanted to ask.
Get emotional.
Yeah. I wanted to ask that part and that question simply because of... I want to see what your answer would be.
Walking away is probably a bit aggressive, but it would be very it'd be very quickly. This is just practice round, guys. We're not keeping score. Come on,
we're not keeping score.
Zach, we're playing a scramble. Yeah, we're not keeping score. Come on,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, we're scrambling.
Come on,
emotionally, I am scrambling. I'm fighting for my life out here.
803-0550, the number to call. We do have a trade in the NHL. The Rangers trading Chris Kreider and a mid round pick to the Anaheim Ducks. Kreider is waiving his no trade clause, heading out west. To Anaheim.
Rangers looking to shake some things up, and Anaheim taking two pieces that the Rangers are done with, by the way. Last year, acquiring Jacob Trouba.
Yep.
And I think that there was an emotional lack of response from the Rangers. Like, you traded the captain. That's probably why you had such a down year and you missed the playoffs entirely. Honestly. Yeah.
Rangers
that can affect a room.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about that with Ottawa, trading Norris with how him and Brady Tkachuk were his friends. It was like, are you sure that's the right move here?
Trading a captain is a big deal, typically. Mm-hmm. Typically.
We'll talk a little bit more on that, especially because of some of the tweets from Kevin Weeks yesterday involving one Bowen Byram. We'll also talk more on the Stanley Cup Final as well. Game 4 tonight. Our coverage here on WGR starting at 7:30 for an 8 p.m. puck drop. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. This is WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.